Jayam Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Padi Vajakacharya Asa Tara Sata Shri Shriman His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Pram Shri Gahar Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadaka Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Sama Veda Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai Gaur Paramanandi All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories to Srila Prabhupada, glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Satojayam Udirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavatu Sevaya Bhagavatu Yutama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead who is praised is established as Jai, Hare Krishna. Reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, chapter 6. Chapter 6 is called The Yadu Dynasty Retires to Prabhas. We have text 20 today and 21. Shri Badarayana Uvacha.
Shri Badarayana Uvacha.
Who's Shri Badarayana? This is for the school, okay? Badarayana, who's Shri Badarayana? Anybody know from the school? It's Sukadeva Goswami. It's another name for Sukadeva Goswami. Okay, Shri Badarayana Uvacha.
Shri Badarayana Uvacha.
Ityabhistuya Vidbudhai.
Ityabhistuya Vidbudhai.
Ityabhistuya Vidbudhai.
Ityabhistuya Vidbudhai.
Sheshashata Dvitir Harim.
Sheshashata Dvitir Harim.
Sheshashata Dvitir Harim.
Sheshashata Dvitir Harim.
Abhyabhasata Govindam.
Abhyabhasata Govindam.
Abhyabhasata Govindam.
Abhyabhasata Govindam.
Pranamya Bharam Ashritai.
Pranamya Bharam Ashritai.
Pranamyam Bharam Ashrita. Shri Badarayane Uvacha. Itya Bhishtuya Vibhudhai. Sheshashata Dvitir Harim. Abhyabhasata Govindam. Pranamyam Bharam Ashrita. Please chant. Ladies.
Shri Badarayane
Uvacha. Shri Badarayane Uvacha. Itya Vishnuya Vibhudhai. Sheshashata Dvitir Harim. Abhyabhasata Govindam. Pranamyam Bharam Ashrita.
Student.
Shri Badarayane Uvacha. Itya Vishnuya Vibhudhai. Sheshashata Dvitir Harim. Abhyabhasata Govindam. Pranamyam Bharam Ashrita.
Shri Badarayane
Uvacha. Itya Vishnuya Vibhudhai. Sheshashata Dvitir Harim. Abhyabhasata Govindam. Pranamyam Bharam Ashrita.
Shri Badarayane Uvacha. Shri Sukadeva Goswami said, Iti thus, Abhishtuya, praising. It's a very important word in this sloka, praising. What's the word for praising in Sanskrit? Abhishtuya, praising. Vibhudhai, along with all the demigods.
Sa-isha,
and also Lord Shiva. Shatadriti, Lord Brahma. Harim, the Supreme Lord. Abhyabhasata.
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 Spoke. Govindam.
Govindam.
To Govinda.
To Govinda.
Pranamya.
Pranamya.
Offering obeisances.
Ambaram.
Ambaram. In the sky.
In the sky.
Ashritai.
Ashritai.
Situated. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada's disciples. Well, translation and no purport, sorry. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued. After Brahma, along with Lord Shiva and the other demigods, thus offered prayers to the Supreme Lord Govinda, Lord Brahma situated himself in the sky and addressed the Lord as follows. So, with the permission of the class organizer, I'm stealing one verse from tomorrow, so that, because this was my only assigned verse. So, can we chant the Sanskrit together to 21? Shri Brahma Raja Bhumir Bharavataraya Pura Vigya Petaprabhu Chan Asam Vira Ishtakam Tatatai Lopapaditam. Translation, Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, previously we requested you to remove the burden of the earth. O unlimited personality of Godhead, that request has certainly been fulfilled. And here's the purport by Prabhupada's disciples. Lord Krishna might have said to the demigods, actually, you requested Shiradarshai Vishnu to come down, so why are you saying that you requested me? After all, I'm Govinda. Therefore, Brahma has addressed the Lord here as Aseshatma, or the unlimited personality of Godhead, from whom all plenary expansions of Vishnu emanate. This is the opinion of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Omagina timidandasya jinanjana salakaya chakshu umiritam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. Was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master Srila Prabhupada very kindly forced open my eyes, which were, I was like holding them really shut, trying to live in ignorance and not thinking that I would be responsible for my activities. But Srila Prabhupada forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge, and I'm totally, eternally indebted to his lotus feet. Hare Krishna. So putting this verse in perspective, Lord Brahma's praying, Lord Brahma and the demigods, they had offered so many beautiful prayers to the Lord. They offered these prayers to the Lord when he was in Dwarka. And interestingly enough, this whole chapter, up to text 20, has been these prayers by the demigods, offering glorification of the Lord and his energies. And his energies and his activities and his pastimes. Actually, right now, they're getting to the point of what they came to ask the Lord to do. But they didn't just barge in on the Lord and say, can you do this for us? They came, they offered their respects, they offered their obeisances, and very sweetly glorified the Lord for many, many verses, for a long time. And now they're getting to the point of what they really want to say. What they glorified the Lord in about 13 verses. And what they really want to say, the message that they want to give to the Lord, they're going to say it in just about 5 verses. So for 13 verses, they're glorifying the Lord. So what can we learn from this? We can learn how it's important how we address each other. Just like you can give somebody a simple instruction. Just like you could say, close the door. You could say, close the door! You could say, I told you 100 times, close the door. Or you could say, please, could you close the door? It would be really helpful, the breeze is too much, I have a cold, you know, whatever. So it's the same message, it's the same wording, you could say, it's the same, more or less, the same, but the message is different by the attitude that's expressed. And if we express ourselves with an attitude of appreciation towards other people, appreciation to the service that they've done, even if you want to tell them something like, you give them some instruction, You can first give the person some encouragement. You know, you're doing this very nicely. And in the future, if you could try to improve in this area, then how does the person feel? A little more encouraged that I'd like to do, I'd like to try, I'd like to lift myself up and come up to the expectation that you're asking me. Instead of saying, look, I told you this 100 times, why are you doing this? You didn't even, never going to anger, learn what I'm doing, why are you doing this? And how do you feel when you get into something like that? Yucky. You could use the word, you know? You're feeling pushed down by the vibration as opposed to coming up by the vibration. So, we can apply it to ourselves. If this is how we feel when we're spoken to, why not practice that on others? Speaking sweetly, speaking nicely, praising them, encouraging them, not falsely praising, not overboard, but encouragement is different than false praise. Encouragement is way different than false praise. Encouraging. Speak encouraging words. Just like, can anyone think of examples from the Bhagavatam or maybe Krishna book where Krishna or some devotee is speaking to somebody of not such first-class character, but they speak to them in such a way that they're encouraged? Can you think of some examples or some phrases from the Bhagavatam or some Krishna book stories? Particularly when Krishna addresses some demons? Or how about, if I give you even a more specific hint, here's one that I'm thinking of. When Krishna, when Vrikasura, the one who wanted to touch everybody's head, right, Vrikasura? So when he... Okay, you remember? Okay, so when...
Like Krishna said that you're a very important person.
He said to him, you're a very important person. Sit down and relax there. You must be very tired. Thank you. Can you think of another example? Shantipur.
Prahlad Maharaj addresses his father as, oh, best of the demons.
Oh, best of the demons. He does, yeah, oh, best of the demons. And he was the best of the demons. Can you think of another example? Sometimes when Krishna addressed Duryodhan, he said, oh, best of your family. Oh, the best of your family. So we can learn so many things from Srimad Bhagavatam. And we might think, if we have an exchange with somebody and they're a little sharp with us, and we might be a little discouraged or hurt or whatever by that, we might think, why did that person say that? What can we learn? We can learn, okay, let me try not to propagate the same thing, but let me try to speak sweetly and encourage. It's really important. And you'll find it. Yes, do you have a question, Sindri, or do you have a comment?
Well, I'm not sure, maybe.
And Ram said he was the best of his devotees. Yes. Thank you. Thanks for remembering that. Very nice. Yeah, so Lord Ram was encouraging Hanuman, you're the best of my devotees. And sometimes he would go right around, let's just say, he would go right around the corner and meet someone else and say, oh, you're the best of my devotees too. Because everyone has a little unique characteristic. So we can encourage people like that. So that's one thing we can learn from that. So the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, offered many, many prayers. So that's one lesson we can learn. Another lesson we can learn from all the prayers that they spoke in glorification of the Lord, how he creates the universe, how he's in charge of this, how he maintains everything. So many prayers. That a devotee's not a fool. Devotees aren't foolish. They're full of knowledge about Krishna. They're full of knowledge about Krishna. So we need to take it upon ourselves to listen very attentively, to study some of Krishna's characteristics, some of his activities, some of his pastimes, so that we can also keep that in our heart and remember in our minds, and also that will help us. How will that help us? It will help us appreciate. It will help us develop our love for Krishna. He's so great. He does this. He creates the whole universe.
He's in charge of everything. You know, that's a really easy statement to say. Krishna is the supreme controller. And then we try to control something in our own little sphere. Krishna is the supreme controller. But we're always acting in a way that we're thinking we're the supreme controller. But a devotee has to, we have to learn how Krishna is controlling everything through his agents, through his agency, through other people. He's sometimes gives us a test through another circumstance. It's not necessarily, like perhaps some of you get direct darshan of the Lord giving you tests, but most of us get tests through our interaction with other people or other situations that we're put in. But ultimately, who's the supreme controller? So he's arranging everything for us to learn from that. And if we take this information to heart and try to remember it and apply it, it's not just meant to be theoretical understanding. It's meant for practical application in our daily life. And then when difficult situations come, or even happy situations come, we can try to remember that Krishna is the controller. He's giving us little bits of tests. He's giving us little bits of mercy and happiness. And he's arranging everything so that we can offer our heart, offer our mind to Krishna. Because what can we offer to Krishna? What's ours? Not much. Although we think XYZ is ours, but actually our heart and our mind are ours to offer to Krishna. So that's one of the things that we can learn. So the devotees are in ignorance. Srila Rupa Goswami, he explains the definition of pure devotional service, Anya Bilasita Sunyam. Are you familiar with that verse, some of you? Anya Bilasita Sunyam, Jnana Kama Dhanavritam. Anukulena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. So he's explaining what's the characteristics of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is devoid. Srila Rupa Goswami explains it's devoid of jnana, the desire for jnana or knowledge and different things. But sometimes people might misunderstand what that jnana means. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't know things about Krishna. We shouldn't know how he creates the world. We shouldn't know what his pastimes are because we don't want anything to know. What that jnana refers to is jnana that covers one's understanding of Krishna as the Supreme Person. We want jnana that's pratikul, that's favorable to bhakti, that uncovers Krishna's supreme personality, that uncovers his opulence, that helps us remember his opulences and his personality, and that's favorable to our cultivation of devotional service. Because if somebody says, I'm a devotee of Krishna, and then somebody says, okay, can you tell me something about him? He's blue. Okay, that's good. Can you tell me something else about him? So we should try to know a little bit. We should try to know, not a little bit, but as much as we can. So that's one thing. So in this second verse in text 21, where Lord Brahma says, my dear Lord, previously we requested you to remove the burden of the earth. O unlimited personality of Godhead, that request has certainly been fulfilled. So what's Lord Brahma referring to? There. What's Lord Brahma referring to? That request that we had for you, Krishna, to remove the burden of the earth has been fulfilled. So what event are the demigods referring to? We're giving someone else a chance. Hello? What event that cleaned off millions? Here's a hint. Millions and millions of people from the earth when Krishna was present with Arjuna. Oh, Sundari? Thank you very kindly. The battlefield of Kurukshetra. Good. Thanks. Let's hear it for Sundari. He's paying attention to my okay. Okay. Not too embarrassing. Okay, anyway. All right. The Battle of Kurukshetra, it's referring not just to that though, so there's other things he's referring to, but Krishna, he was instrumental in removing, killing, you could say, killing many people who were opposed to religious principles. Now, a person might say, why is Krishna killing demons? Does that mean that he's partial? That he favors the good guys and he doesn't like the demons? Is that what that means? That God is partial? That means he has his favorites that he takes care of, and if he doesn't like you? Well, you can say the answer really quickly with a yes or a no, but you have to explain it. Can you do that? Can you explain it a little bit? How the Lord's not, how is it considered? I mean, and then you could also think, is that all that he does? Like, kill people? 640 million people were killed in the battle of Kurukshetra just in 18 days. And that wasn't the only people that Krishna killed. You could just name a few others. Vyomasura, Bakasura, Aristasura, Keshi demon, Putana. Okay, just a few. So is that all that he does? No. Just in case you didn't think so. Okay, anyway, so when Krishna... Yes, Gopal. Very good. Thank you. He doesn't just kill them, but he liberates them. So he does something for their good. That's the important point. And that's why when it comes up, when people might question, is God partial? Is he favorable to some and not favorable to others? Then that's the answer. That's the answer right there. It's an important answer to understand, too, that when he apparently does some harm or something terrible, it's actually for the person's good. And they get so much benefit. Just like Putana. Putana, you are all very familiar with the story of Putana, how she came to Krishna to kill him, putting poison on her breast, and Krishna just considered that, oh, she's like a mother to me. Of course, he killed her. He killed that demoniac propensity in her heart. But then what happened to Putana? Yes, Gopal.
After that, she came to the spiritual world and got to be Krishna's nurse.
Yeah. After that, she went to the spiritual world and got to be Krishna's nurse. So let's just say Putana didn't kill Krishna at that particular time. How long, but she had that mentality. She killed hundreds and thousands, well, hundreds of babies. I don't know how many babies, but she killed many babies that were born around the same time. So what would her fate have been? She would have had to suffer so many births in hellish condition of life. And yet, even though she came to kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he took away that sinful propensity and elevated her to a position of like a mother in the spiritual world. So how merciful is that? That's incomparable mercy. So much so that Uddhava, was it Uddhava? Ahobakiyam. Kalakana Sutta. Uddhava? Okay, so thank you. So when Uddhava was thinking of that pastime, how can I take shelter of somebody who's more merciful than Krishna? There isn't anybody who's more merciful than Krishna. Just like if you put yourself in that position, if someone came to kill you, would you like give them $1 million and say, thanks very much, that was really, you know, would you do that? Would that be your attitude? Or if somebody killed somebody in your family, would you have that same mood to them? But Krishna, he's not seeing the body, the outer body, he's seeing the soul. And he's elevating the soul and giving that soul just what they need for their spiritual advancement. So Lord Brahma, back to this verse. Lord Brahma is praising Krishna. We requested you. Do you remember when Lord Brahma and the demigods came to request Krishna to help alleviate the burden of the earth? That's chapter 1, 10th canto, advent of Lord Krishna. When the earth was overburdened by the sinful activities of many kings with bellicose forces, Prabhupada says, the earth, Priti, the earth, the personification of the earth took the form of a cow and came and requested Brahma and the demigods, and they went to the shore of the
milk ocean, yeah,
mm-hmm.
Kabardock Ocean, and they requested the Lord to please come. And this is what's inferred in the purport here of Shiradakshaya Vishnu. They requested him to please come. And it was just so happened that it was exactly the right time. It was time for Krishna to advent, so he arranged for everyone to, and his family members to come down. And so Brahma's coming and saying, okay, you did it. Thank you very much. You did it. Now it's time to come back. Come back to the spiritual world. Can you remember another instance, another circumstance in Krishna's activities when somebody had to come and remind him what he had to do? Hold on 1 second. Somebody had to come and remind Krishna, we need you to do this. Gopal, you remember too? Okay, who should I give it to? Let me just give it to Gauranga because I put him on hold 2 times. Gauranga?
Does it have to be with Krishna?
It has to be with Krishna Leo. It has to be. Okay, so Gopal, do you know? When somebody had to come and remind Krishna that we need you to do something, something, something?
When he has to leave?
Mm-hmm.
Is it the curse?
Which curse? Okay, that's actually what this story is based on, this curse of the Yadu dynasty. But that's not what I'm referring to right now. Thank you. What I'm referring to now is when Krishna, right after Krishna killed Keshi Demon. Who was the Keshi Demon? Thanks. The horse demon. So right after Krishna killed Keshi Demon, Krishna was so absorbed in his Vrindavan Leela. He was so happy in Vrindavan, herding the cows, playing with the gopis, playing with his friends. He didn't want to leave. He was kind of, the demigods were getting a little worried that he was standing there for too long. He was staying there for too long. And he had other things that he was supposed to do, like relieve the earth of its burden by killing these demons. So Narada Muni comes to him in a secluded place and reminds him, you know, I'm really happy that in a few days I'm going to see you go to Mathura. He's reminding him, go to Mathura. That you have to go to Mathura and kill Chanura and Mushtika. And then after that, I'm really happy to see that you're going to kill Kamsa, that evil king who persecuted so many of the Yadus and your mother and father. And after that, I'm so happy that I know that I'm going to see this happen and that happen. So he was reminding Krishna, oh. And Krishna's like, just like when you have a lot of things to do. Well, it's not just like, sorry. It's not just like, but one could say somewhat like, okay. Somewhat like when you have a lot of things to do. You have X, Y, Z, and A, B, C on your list. And so you've got A, B, C done, and you've got X and Y done, but you forgot Z. And someone comes, oh, but you were supposed to Z, make the Charitamrita, and you forgot. Okay, but then they remembered. So they, oh, thanks for the reminder. So that was what Narada Muni was doing. So one could think, well, if Krishna's the all-knowing Supreme Personality of Godhead, how could he forget? Did he really forget? How could he forget? He actually did really, well, the Acharyas described that Krishna's consciousness, one of his characteristics of his consciousness when he's enacting his different leelas, especially his Krishna leela, he becomes what's called mugdatta. Mugdatta means his consciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the source of everything, the arranger of everything, the creator, maintainer, and destroyer, that all becomes condensed, squished down to he's thinking what? He said, Vishwanath Chakravarti said right here, I'm just Govinda. I'm just a cowboy boy. He's not thinking of anything else when he's doing those leelas. He's totally absorbed in those leelas. Thinking, I'm Govinda, the cowboy boy. These are my friends, these are the gopis, Mother Yasoda is my mother. It's called Mugdatta, it's condensed consciousness. And so sometimes, so Narada Muni was coming to just try to remind him, there are a few other things that we were hoping that you would get done while you were here on this earth planet, so don't forget about Kamsa and Chanura and Mushtika and this one and that one. Don't forget about the battle of Kurukshetra. And Krishna says, oh yeah, time to go to Mathura. Anyway, sorry. But so that's another quality of Krishna. He's aware of everything, but he becomes so absorbed in his pastimes that sometimes he forgets. So
Oh, we were just reading yesterday in the ninth canto. I'll just read these things from the ninth canto that we were reading yesterday about the Supreme Lord and his supreme ability to do so many things. Okay, this is from the ninth canto. This is the 24th chapter in the ninth canto. And text number 59, which is the one I want to read, is 61. Oh, 60 I want to read. Okay, I'm going to read you 59. So 59 says, okay, so just a little brief description of the ninth canto. The ninth canto is full of two things, unusual stories and dynasties. This one had a son named this, and that one had a son named that. It's full. So there's three volumes of the ninth canto. This one had a son. We're at the end of the ninth canto, and it's Krishna's coming. So now there's a little bit of description of Krishna and what he's going to do. So here is Sukadeva Goswami saying, although the demons, and listen how this was composed thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, and it could actually, you could think that we're reading from a newspaper. Well, not a real, a devotee newspaper, not a, okay. Although the demons who take possession of the government are dressed like men of government, they do not know the duty of the government. Consequently, by the arrangement of God, such demons, who possess great military strength, fight with one another, and thus the great burden of demons on the surface of the earth is reduced. The demons increase their military power by the will of the Supreme Lord, so that their numbers will be diminished, and the devotees will have a chance to advance in Krishna consciousness. Now here's a verse that really applies to today's text. The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, with the cooperation of Sankarshan Balaram, performed activities beyond the mental comprehension of even such personalities of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. And then in brackets, Prabhupada writes, for instance, Krishna arranged the battle of Kurukshetra to kill many demons for the relief of the entire world. So did anything in that verse catch your attention? The one that I just read, Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Something catch your attention? Should I read it again so it'll catch your attention? Okay, I'm going to read it again and I'm going to ask you the same question, okay? The Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, with the cooperation of Sankarshan Balaram, performed activities beyond the mental comprehension of even such personalities as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva. Did anything catch your attention in that verse? Kalyani. Comprehension. What does that mean, beyond the mental comprehension? What does that mean, Gopal? More than you can imagine. So what was he saying was more than you can imagine? What was he saying? What is it that's more than your Kalyani? What is it? Of Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Even their mental comprehension, they wouldn't be able to understand what? Gauranga. Krishna's pastimes, how he arranged things. So we could say, even if Lord Brahma or Lord Shiva can't understand what and how Krishna arranges things, what to speak of us? Yeah, it's time, I know. Okay. What to speak of us? So does anybody have any questions before you go? Okay. Yes, Jai Shri Radhe. Krishna definitely liberates the demons. So why not just be a really bad demon and get liberated by Krishna? That's a really good question. One might think that that's a path to take. That's a possibility. That's a possibility. But if you think of how many quote unquote demons are out there and how few get actually killed by Krishna, why not take the safe path and take to the process of bhakti yoga, which he certainly will take care of you in a much more pleasant way, in a shorter amount of time. In a shorter amount of time. One of my very, very favorite lines is coming up in our study of Sri Nectar of Instruction. Nectar of Instruction, text 3. That's a hint for my class that we're going to have next week. Prabhupada says in the purport there, the process of Bhakti Yoga is so potent that once having begun, one is ultimately dragged to success. Hari Bol. Thank you. Thank you very much for your attention. Other comments or questions from other people, or corrections or additions? Pran Govinda Prabhu? Starting from the beginning, the meeting.
So, Buddha Goswami, he stayed 3 years in the womb of Aruni.
Yes.
And while he was in the womb, he was listening the entire Bhagavad. So when you say Bhagavani, the son of Vyasadeva and Aruni together, who listened the Veda completely, called Bhagavani. Subhya Goswami has a many name. But in the beginning of the class,
okay,
he said,
yes.
Who is Bhagavani?
Okay, thank you.
So Bhagavani is the personality who was in the womb of Aruni, Mother Aruni.
But Avani, the womb of Aruni.
And learned the entire Veda from the Vyasadeva.
Thank you.
That combination together, his address is Bhagavani.
Thank you for that.
Another point is that the Krishna does not kill demon, actually.
Good point.
Because they are absorbing him, attracts him to purify him. Krishna does not kill every demon. Those who are absorbing Krishna, only they get killed.
Yes. Like Dana, he didn't get killed.
Yes.
He didn't, because he was too atheistic. He didn't have any love for Krishna. Yeah, good point. Thanks. Other comments or corrections or points or anything? Thank you very kindly. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.